Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see so many here tonight. I know it wasn't because of me. We're in Psalm 119, if you want to turn there. Psalm 119. I'm actually going to be looking at verses 65 through 72. Psalm 119, starting with verse 65. And if you really take a peek at this passage, you'll know that this is a stanza of Psalm 119 that meditates really on two things. Two things very important to the Christian life that you might not think belong together. First one is God's goodness. We know about that. We've experienced that. But the second one is our affliction. You think they go together? More importantly, I guess, we're going to study, and what this passage is going to try to point out to us is our acknowledgement of God's goodness in our affliction. God's goodness in our affliction. And knowing those things, how those things go together in the Christian experience, is frankly one of the most important things I think we could ever know as a Christian. How to deal with affliction, how to deal with trial and adversity. Because a Christian in affliction will tell you a lot about his soul. It'll tell you a lot about his heart, his or her heart. In the midst of affliction, the acknowledgement of the Lord's goodness and our confidence, really, in his providence is the surest indication that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And in this section of Psalm 119, it's a meditation on that very truth. You know, I like to, and I've often preached sermons on affliction and trial not being particularly because you've done something wrong. Not particularly because the Lord is correcting you for something, but because the Lord's trying to grow you and teach you. Well, this one is not that. This one is the Lord's trying to direct us as we stray from Him. And this isn't quite as easy as those other ones. But we're going to read the passage from Psalm 119, starting with verse 65, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God's help and blessing as we study this passage. Let's read it. This is God's word from Psalm 119, beginning in verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Shall we pray? Father, this is your word. And once again, we ask of you that you would open our eyes that we might behold the wondrous things from your law. Lord, this is your word, and it's speaking to us about a subject that's practical and needed and relevant to every single one of us in this auditorium tonight. Because there are none of us, there are no children of God without trials and without troubles and without afflictions. Lord, we all go through them, and it's so vitally important how we handle those situations. So, Father, we pray that you would teach us how we ought to live in and through these afflictions, and how we ought to think about you and in and under those afflictions, and how we ought to delve into your word and know what it says and gain encouragement from it. Lord, we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this section of Psalm 119, the psalmist is acknowledging that he needed discipline. He says, I went astray. I needed humbled. I needed disciplined. He needed the discipline of the Lord in his life. And this discipline came to him in the context of affliction. Now, this affliction isn't specified. It isn't spelled out. The affliction could have been, well, it could have been the persecution of the unbelievers that he mentions in verse 69 and verse 70. Or it could have been a more active affliction of the Lord of him. Or it could have been both. It could have been more than that. But throughout the psalm, he acknowledges that this discipline was one of the ways that the Lord dealt with him well, and that the Lord dealt with him wisely in his life. See, twice we see him saying something to the effect of, the Lord humbled me. Look at verse 67. He said this, I went astray, but now I keep your word. In verse 71, I have been afflicted that I might learn your statutes. So the Lord had a purpose in these afflictions. Yeah, so in both of these instances, the affliction that he experienced really humbled him and really brought him back onto the right path that he was wandering astray from. It actually set him in the right way of the Lord. So again, he doesn't tell us what form that humbling was. I mean, it could have been physical suffering. It could have been emotional anguish. It could have been the mental suffering of the lies and the insensitivity of unbelievers that were mentioned in verses 69 and 70. But whatever the form of that affliction was, he accepts that he accepts it as from God, as divine discipline, and he acknowledges to God that it was wise. And he acknowledges to God that it was effective in his life. And I want to look with you tonight. There's so much we could look at it in this passage. We're not going to be able to cover it all. But I just want to look with you tonight at four acknowledgments that the psalmist makes, that we ourselves also could make in the midst of our afflictions. Four acknowledgments that he makes that are important for any Christian, I think, who is suffering under affliction and trials. And as we think together about God's goodness in our affliction, we're going to look at these four acknowledgments. Well, let's look at the first one, Roman numeral number one. The first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to see an acknowledgment from the psalmist of the Lord's wisdom and goodness in his dealings. The Lord's wisdom and goodness in his dealings. See, the psalmist cries out in verse 68, rightly. And we ought to be able ourselves to cry out this very same thing in all our afflictions. He cries this out, Lord, you are good and do good. Now, I know that all of us, at one point or another, at times in our afflictions, we don't feel like saying that. I realize that. But we want to get there. We want to get to the point where we can say, Lord, even in my affliction, you're good, and you do good, and you are doing good. You know, there are times in our afflictions that we don't really feel that way, right? We're not ready to acknowledgement. Or when we say it, it's very hollow, isn't it? Yeah, well, God's good. Do we really mean it? Well, we want to get to the point where we can get there and say, Lord, you are good, and you do good. And look at how he acknowledges that. Look at verse 65. He says this, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. And so he acknowledges the wisdom of God in dealing with him. Lord, the way you dealt with me was good. Lord, the way you dealt with me was wise. And you are good and you do good. and the way you dealt with me was good and wise because it was according to your word. It's just like you spelled out in your word that you would deal with me, and you're dealing with me in exactly that way. And you dealt with me in that way, and I want to acknowledge, Lord, I want to acknowledge your goodness in my afflictions. And then look at verse 68. Here's the direct assertion. He said, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Do you hear what the psalmist is saying here? Now, what's that song we sang? Remember that? For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. You know what? That affliction that I'm going through right now, I wouldn't have chosen it in a million years. I wouldn't have chosen to go through it. And frankly, I don't enjoy it. And I wish things were different. I wish I was in a different situation. But having reflected, the psalmist says, having reflected on that affliction, and having reflected, Lord, on your goodness, I can say, Lord, you do all things well. You are good to me. You have dealt well with your servant. You are good, and you do good. Now, I'm not saying that to all of you, to all of us who are suffering, that we're there right now. It takes some time, doesn't it? It takes some time to work through that. And sometimes we get there, and sometimes we just fall right back, and we have to get there again. To the point where we acknowledge, you know, there are pits and there are darknesses in that process of acknowledging the Lord and His goodness in our afflictions. But it ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts. It ought to be our desire and aspiration at the bottom of our heart in all our afflictions to get there and say, Lord, in my afflictions, you are good and you do good and you have dealt well with me. And we're never the same until we're there. We're never safe until we're there at that point. So there's the first acknowledgement I want you to see. The acknowledgement of the Lord's wisdom and His goodness in dealing with us. In dealing with us even in our afflictions. Point number two, Roman numeral number two. Here's the second thing. An acknowledgement of the Lord's use of affliction for our good. The Lord's use of affliction for our good. See, the psalmist gives a very clear acknowledgement of the Lord's use of afflictions for the good of the believer. And he in effect prays this, Lord, you use even affliction as a blessing for me. Did you know it's a blessing? Yeah, we ought to give thanks for that. Yeah, that's scriptural, right? That's New Testament scriptural. We ought to give thanks even for trials, even for temptations. Lord, you use even affliction as a blessing for me. And as he prays, he prays a prayer that we ought to aspire to pray. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. So he's acknowledging that the Lord's affliction was effective for him. It brought him back onto the right path when he strayed away. He said, Lord, now you have my attention. You have my full attention. Lord, I went astray, but Lord, you sent that affliction. You taught me from your word, and now I keep your word. Now look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So he's acknowledging that the Lord used this affliction to bring him back from straying, to bring him back from walking away from the Lord, and to teach him his statutes, to teach him his word, and it was effective in his life. So he acknowledges the use of the Lord's affliction for his good. It's not just punitive, is it? The Lord wants us to direct us back, to direct us back to him, to direct us back into his word. One commentator, you've probably heard this before, one commentator says, well, provocatively, he says this, God sometimes uses pain to get our attention. Doesn't he? Haven't you used that phrase before? Somebody's going through something, you said, well, maybe the Lord's trying to get your attention. Well, he does. If that's true, it's also true that God uses affliction to get our attention. But not only to get our attention, but to do us good. He uses it to do us well. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 21 where Jeremiah says to the nation of Israel, he says, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. And here the psalmist says, I understand that. I understand what he's saying. You know what? Sometimes when things are good, sometimes when things are going well, that's the time when we take our focus off of the Lord. And when he sends afflictions our way, hey, we got our attention right back on him. And he does that for our good. I guess the point there, some of us are going through some very hard afflictions right now. The Lord has your attention, right? You're probably praying fervently that the Lord would work you through that situation. But what if you're not? What if things are going well? Are you focused on the Lord? Are you focused on the Lord even in your prosperity? Even when things are going good? Because it's easy to get distracted. Remember the story of Job? You know the story of Job. You know, I don't think there are many of us in this auditorium this morning who would want to sit next to Job and say, you know, Job, I know you went through a lot in your life, but let me tell you about mine. Let me tell you about my struggles. I think every single one of us here in this auditorium today would hate to sit next to Job and tell him about our afflictions. We wouldn't want to do that. We'd be a little embarrassed. And there was a man, Job, who was deeply and profoundly afflicted in a number of ways that are far beyond most of what us today will ever experience. And yet, take a look. Take a look with me. Put your finger in this passage there in Psalm 119. Turn to Job 42. Job 42. And take a look at what Job says about that experience. And he's saying it not during the experience. He's saying it at the end of that experience. Job chapter 42. Now here is Job's own assessment of what God has done in his life. Job 42. We'll start with verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord. Now you remember, this is after that long period of God speaking to Job and giving him rhetorical question after question after question that Job can't answer. Remember that? Remember when God gives Job all those questions that he can't answer? And here's Job's response. Job says this, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So there's this acknowledgement. There's the acknowledgement of God's sovereignty in everything that happened to Job. God's hand was on it. He says, you can do everything. Verse 3, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? And who does Job say it is? Job says, that's me. Right? You're right, Lord. That is me. I'm in the front of the line. I'm the one. I'm the one who hides wisdom or counsel without knowledge. And then he says this. He says, therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And so he's saying here, Lord, you're exactly right. You're exactly right about my situation. I've been talking about things that I don't know anything about. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. But now, Lord, I'm going to speak. I'm going to say something. Let me speak, Lord. Here's what I'm going to say. Look at verse 4. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Now what does he say? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now that's A stunning statement, isn't it? Lord, I've heard of you. Lord, I thought I knew you. But now, Lord, I've seen you. Now, Lord, you've spoken to me audibly, and you've afflicted me, and through this affliction, I have come to see who you are and what you're like. And you know what, Lord? You're right, and I'm wrong. And he acknowledges it. Lord, you are good and do good. Basically what he's saying is, even in my affliction, you are good and do good. And you know, the Apostle Paul gives us, I think, an even clearer statement to those who love him. So he gives a further encouragement, maybe even than that in Romans, where he tells us all things work for good to those who love God. Why don't we turn there? Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. We're just going to read the passage. You can actually tell what he's saying without a lot of explanation of this passage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. This includes discipline, doesn't it? It even includes affliction. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an encouraging thought, huh? In other words, the Lord uses everything in our lives, even affliction in our lives, to do us good. Because he is good, and he does good. Number three, Roman numeral number three. There's an acknowledgement here by the psalmist of the blessing of good judgment and true knowledge. The blessing of good judgment and true knowledge. In effect, he prays this, Lord, you want to grow me. Lord, you want to grow me in true knowledge and good judgment. And we ought to pray the same way, huh? Lord, please. Lord, through the things I'm going through in my life, through my afflictions, through my trials, Lord, grow me. Give me true knowledge and good judgment. Listen to what he says in verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. And verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Notice how he's saying that in the Lord's dealings with him, he has grown in knowledge. He's grown in knowledge. You see, ignorance doesn't sanctify. Only true knowledge sanctifies, doesn't it? Only knowledge sanctifies. Truth sanctifies. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? Jesus prayed when he prayed for his disciples in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. He said this. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. See, true knowledge is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives in our sanctification. And the psalmist is acknowledging that right here in this passage. Lord, all of this dealing that you've been doing with me has driven me to your word. And what has your word given me? Well, your word has given me true knowledge. And how has it helped me? Well, it's grown me up. It's taken me off of the path I was going and set me back on the right path. You know what? I needed that. I needed your discipline. I needed affliction in my life. And you've given it to me. You've given me that knowledge that I need to get back on track. And it's also given him good judgment. Did you notice that? Verse 66. Teach me good judgment. Have you ever run into a really, really smart person who really had no common sense? Have you run into a really, really smart person who really didn't have good judgment? And the psalmist doesn't want to be one of those people. You know, you can know a lot of things and have no common sense. You can know a lot of things and have no good judgment. The psalmist wants good judgment. He wants to have true knowledge that sanctifies, but he also wants good judgment. And how do you get that? You get it from the Word. You get it from the Word. The Word at work in your heart and in your life. And he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. You know, many people have knowledge, but they have little judgment, little discernment, little discretion. And he's saying, Lord, give me discretion. Give me knowledge. Give me judgment. Give me discernment from your Spirit by your Word. Number four. Almost done here. Number four. He acknowledges that the Lord's blessing is often attended or accompanied, you might say, often accompanied by the world's cursing. The Lord's blessing is often accompanied or attended by the world's cursing. And he prays in effect, Lord, I will delight and I will keep your law in the face of a lying and insensitive world. Look at verses 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat, or you might say as unfeeling, as grease, but I delight in your law. Notice here that he accepts even the smears and the lies and the insensitivity of insolent people as part of the humbling that the Lord has given him in his life. It almost reminds you, doesn't it, of David? You know, David having to march out of Jerusalem with his armies because his son Absalom had rebelled against him. And that wicked fool, Shimei, remember him? Stands on the hillside, shouting curses down at David, throwing things at him. And what happens? His men say, hey, listen, let us take a shot at him. We can take him down pretty quick. And David acknowledges that Shimei was a part of the Lord's affliction on him. Perhaps it was part of the Lord's discipline of his life. And he says, no, don't do that. And here the psalmist is saying, Lord, even that affliction, even that was good for me. Even the lies and the smears that people put upon me, that was good for me, Lord. And it just drove me into your word, exactly where I needed to be. That's where it drove me. It drove me right into your word. And shouldn't it be the same for us? Don't you think that when the Lord was teaching you that the world will... Don't you think that when the Lord is teaching you that the world will always embrace that and will always accept that and will always love you? Sometimes it's the opposite, isn't it? When the Lord teaches us things, when the Lord grows us up, the world often hates that. But when the world mocks and tells lies about you, let it drive you to the Word. Let it drive you to Him. And folks, there's going to be more and more, this is going to become more and more important in the days ahead. As we look at a world that becomes more and more mocking, more and more hostile to the gospel and to what the Lord is doing in our lives. That's going to become more and more important. Are we going to be embarrassed? Are we going to be turned away from the Lord? Are we going to turn to Him and are we going to turn to His Word? So we need to make sure that the mocking of the world drives us not away from the Word, but to the Word. And that you recognize that the Lord's blessing doesn't necessarily mean that the world's going to like it. It, in fact, often involves the world's cursing. Well, those are four acknowledgments that the psalmist makes in this psalm from this great passage that I'll kind of commend to you. Hopefully we can meditate on that this week. What has the Lord sent in your life? Why has the Lord sent it in your life? Huh? I guess that's up to you. It's not for me to judge. But if you find yourself in a place of affliction, remember this. Remember the psalmist, but also remember your Savior was also in a place of affliction too. Remember that he learned obedience from what he suffered. That's what the scriptures say. And if our Savior learned obedience from what he suffered, surely you and I can learn obedience from what we're going through. We can learn contentment. We can learn the goodness of the Lord even in our afflictions. Let's focus on that, even this week, huh? Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the work that you do in the lives of each and every one of us. Sometimes, Lord, we know it's not often easy. Sometimes it's quite painful. And sometimes, Lord, you bring afflictions and trials into our lives, even when we're being obedient. And Lord, we pray that we would learn what we need to do in those situations. But Lord, sometimes, yes, you bring afflictions and trials into our lives to get our attention. Maybe we're kind of stepping off the path. But Lord, you bring these things in our lives to do us good, to bring blessing to us. You want us to have blessing. So Lord, set us back on the right paths that we might learn to lean on your word, that we might learn to trust it. We might learn to trust you even in our afflictions. Lord, that we might learn your goodness in and through them. Lord, bless us this night. Lord, bless us in the days and the weeks to come as we focus on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.